Good morning. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. I'm Brady Safranik. Thank you for joining me. It is time for Community Speaks, being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. Joining me this morning with Wyoming Game and Fish, Bud Stewart and Daryl Meineke. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, Brady, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning.
Very well, thank you. And first, we're gonna talk with Bird Farm Supervisor Daryl Meineke about the Sheridan Bird Farm. What's going on over there, Daryl?
We've got some snow being replaced with mud right now, which means spring has sprung and the pheasants are thinking about babies. So we've got 1,200 breeder hens that we kept over all winter long. And about 150 males, and they're now actively breeding and laying eggs. And it kind of surprises people to know that they start so early, and oftentimes they think that that's something unique to our farm. And the reality is that pheasants in the county are doing the same thing and laying eggs. They won't hatch those eggs yet, though. They're just in a kind of in a laying preparation kind of mode. And so, yeah, that's what's going on now. We've got not all the birds are laying eggs. We've got about 200 hens a day are laying now. That number will increase as weather gets nice. Hopefully weather gets nice. And so we hope to see around 1,000 eggs a day by the second week of April. That's kind of where we're at there. And we're gathering eggs every day, but we're just discarding those early eggs. These hens were born last spring, so this is their first laying season, so their early eggs aren't really that good. It's still too early also for us to hatch them. What we do is we put those eggs in an incubator and hatch them on site, and then those birds have to go into a brooder house, and it's just a little bit too cold now. So we'll set about 7,000 eggs, hopefully, about middle April in our incubator.
Now, with those 7,000 eggs, do you have a percentage of about estimated how many of those will survive and how many won't?
Well, there's a couple of answers there. Of the 7,000 eggs, if those eggs are sorted correctly, which we go through all those and check them for cracks and sizes and colors and things like that that indicate they'd be a viable egg. And then if the incubation period goes off as planned, we'll expect about 80% of those eggs to hatch. So not 100%. And even in the wild, a hen doesn't hatch 100%. So we're pleased to get 80% of those, which equates to around 5,000 chicks per week that we'll take out of the incubator at the farm. We stock about 16,000 birds, so we'll shoot to hatch 20,000. So we'll set that 7,000 number for 4 weeks, and if everything goes as planned, which most of the time it does, we'll have 20,000 baby birds by the 1st of June.
Now, do you do birds other than pheasants or just pheasants?
We don't. Nope, just ringneck pheasant.
Okay. And with the bird farm, now you mentioned earlier that some people think that this is a little early for eggs, and you said, you know, around the county that's kind of when they're hatching. Does it differ? I mean, is there different times of year depending on where you are at a bird farm that they might be laying eggs?
There can be. For example, I run another pheasant farm for the Game and Fish that's in Torrington. And Torrington is always 2 to 3 weeks ahead of us for egg production. But Torrington's also seen much warmer days, much warmer nights. They haven't had snow on the ground for weeks. It's just a totally different climate. And because of that, those birds are in the southern part of the state, southeastern part of the state, are a little bit ahead of us. And so the further north you go, You know, pheasants will be just a little bit delayed. It's mostly a photo period thing. So
sounds like it's based on climate where it's warmer. The birds probably feel that, think it's springtime and start laying eggs.
And it's the lengthening of the days too. So when the days start to get long, as we're all enjoying these evenings now till 7:30, where, you know, that triggers this mechanism and they start to breed and lay. Yep.
Okay, and so that's what's going on with the Sheridan Bird Farm, talking with Daryl Meineke. Daryl, I thank you for sharing the information.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. And Bud, we'll bring you in here. We got some important dates coming up.
Well, we do. You know, we just finished last week that bear bait registration renewal period. That was from March 1 to 20, so that's over. So right now, we're in a period where there's no bear bait registrations right now, and there won't be until April 2nd. And now, normally that day is April 1st, but this year, April 1st falls on a Sunday, so it's the next business day. So this year, April 2nd will be the next day, the next time period, that a person that wants to put out a bear bait or get a bear bait will have an opportunity to come up to our office and actually register a bear bait. So starting at 8 o'clock on April 2nd, Monday, April 2nd, which is this coming Monday, then new bear bait registrations will have to be done in person at the Game Fish Regional Office. So if you think you might want to do that or whatever, right now you can go to the Game Fish office and look at the map and you can see what sites are not taken. Each bear person with a bear license, you have to have a valid bear license. You're allowed 2 square miles, 2 sections, so you can go pick out a couple sections that you think you might want to be in and get in line. We will have people there probably a day ahead of time waiting in line to, because they maybe have identified a certain section that nobody else wants anymore and they want it, and so they'll be there and in line and ready to go at 8 o'clock on Monday, April 2nd. So that's coming up, and then we're right in the middle of our, well, kind of almost to the end, I guess, of our big game season setting process. We had an open house in Sheridan on Monday night. Buffalo was last night, and we'll have KC tonight. We're going to have the public meeting there will be at 6 p.m. at the KC Public Library tonight. And then from those 3 open houses and meetings, we'll kind of go back, compile some of the comments, look at them, see what those, and then we will have our final season setting meeting for the Sheridan region. That will be on that Monday, April 2nd. It's going to be at 7 o'clock at the Game Fish Regional Office. And so that we'll not only discuss the big game seasons, the proposed big game seasons for this fall, but also at that meeting, kind of an important one, we letting people know that we are also going to discuss the potential to have a fall 2018 grizzly bear season.
Okay.
So that's something that we haven't had in Wyoming for, you know, 40, 50 years. So there will be discussions at that meeting. So if anybody's interested in that, that's April 2nd, 7 o'clock at the Game Fish office. So we'll discuss not only the big game seasons that will be, but also those grizzly bears. So something to think about if you want to provide comments or come to that meeting. So.
And Bud, as we are into spring now, people are getting those boats ready to put out on the water as soon as they can, as soon as the ice is all melted. And one of the things they need to be aware of is AIS and having their AIS stickers, number one, but even more importantly, make sure that their boat, have they had it in waters outside of Wyoming, is cleaned properly. And you actually have some trainings for this coming up.
Right. Yeah, and of course, you know, some people might be hearing that AIS and wonder, what the heck is that? Well, that's aquatic invasive species. And we hold every year a series of trainings for the public. These are for the public. And we're going to have 3 this year. And the first one will be March 31. So that's coming up. That'll be this Saturday. That's at the Keyhole Country Club. It's from 8 till 2 that day. And then a week later, April 7th, we're going to have one in Sheridan. And that'll be at the Game and Fish office from 8 till 2. And then the last one we're going to have will be over in Sundance. It's on May 5th, and it'll be at the Crook County building there. So got those three. These are open to the public. If you want to know the ins and outs of inspecting your boat, we have a lot of boat owners that they want to know what to look for aquatic invasive species. So they come, and then they're certified inspectors. They can inspect other folks' boat if they so desire. So just encourage people, if you're interested, best thing to do is get a hold of Mike Locatelli. Mike is our AIS coordinator there in the Sheridan region. And I've got a phone number here that's Mike's. It's actually his cell phone. So it's 307-683-7715. Get a hold of Mike and get registered. It's a good idea to be registered for these meetings, because you'll get a whole packet of materials, and Mike needs to know how many people are going to show up so he can have the number of packets available for people. So somebody's interested in that, call Mike or just call our Sheridan office, and they can get hooked up with that. So.
And then, Bud, coming up in the middle of May is the Wyoming Outdoor Expo down in Casper.
Yeah, Game and Fish held those expos from, late 80s till up to about, 4 or 5 years ago. And but we're going to start it up again. And they were always in the fall before, usually early September. This year they're going to try one in middle of May. So it'll be May 17, 18, and 19 at the Casper Event Center. It's a great thing for kids, because it's designed to be an educational experience for middle school, early high school, or high school. So the 17th and 18th, which is a Thursday and a Friday, encouraging schools to come. And actually, if schools are interested, we're trying to push them to Friday, because we have a lot of schools already registered for Thursday. So if somebody wants to come on Friday, May 18th, there's still some opening for schools, and then get on our website and stuff. And then on Saturday, May 19th, they're working up this family challenge, and I'm not sure exactly what's there, but a family can go down and get involved in this family challenge. So it's going to be a pretty interesting thing. And it, middle of May there in Casper at the Expo, and nice, kind of a good way to start off the spring and summer. So
sure. And you've got a public meeting coming up in April regarding fishing regulations.
Yeah, we do. With this, and actually at that meeting, it's going to be April 30th. It'll be at the Sheridan Regional Office, probably 6 or 7 o'clock. We don't have a time yet. We just decided this yesterday, actually. So, and we'll, a couple, three things. There's, our regulation chapter. So we're going to, at that meeting, it's going to be kind of a combination meeting. We're going to discuss fishing regulations, we're going to discuss wolf regulations, and watercraft. And I know that's kind of a funny combination, but rather than have three separate meetings, we thought we'll just combine them all into one. So if somebody wants to come and talk about listen to the proposed wolf regulations, or proposed watercraft regulations, or the fishing regulations, that April 30 date is the date to be there. Now, I know a couple, there's like three fishing regulation changes that are proposed. The one that's really local here is our fish management folks are contemplating taking one of the ponds out of the Bud Love and making a kind of a special regulations area, real similar to Muddy Guard 1. And I think the pond that they're talking about is called North Sales 1. It's the lower pond on that North Sales Creek. And they would have a regulation that might be like, fishing would be catch and release only for fish under 20 inches. You could maybe harvest one fish over 20 inches, and it would be flies and lures only. So that's the thing that they're, the one, that would probably affect the real buffalo area here.
There's a pond out there. I don't know which one it is or what the names of each of the ponds are there, but there's one I pulled some last year and the year before, some really nice sized rainbows out of.
Yeah, there's five ponds total on the Bud Love, two up South Sales and three up North Sales, and they can all be good fishing at certain times, you know. But the two up south sails could be good. This, I think the pond that they're looking at is that lower one, kind of that bigger one. Of the three on north sails, there's a bigger one at the top, and then the smaller one in the middle, then a little bit bigger one at the bottom of the drains. That's the north sails number one, it's called. So I think that's the one that they're thinking about putting this regulation on. So if people are interested in that, sure, you'll want them to come and visit about it. The other thing there, a lot of folks in Sheridan like to go to Tongue River Reservoir and fish, and they want to be able to take minnows up there. But we've talked about this before, Brady, and it's on here too a little later, is taking live fish across or from a water or across the state line is a real no-no. So the Fish Division is thinking about allowing people maybe to harvest bait minnows out of the Tongue River, but you would have to kill them immediately upon harvest. You couldn't leave the river with them. And you know, a lot of walleye fishermen will, and crappie fishermen will take those bait minnows and they'll preserve them with salt. They'll salt them and they'll last a long time, you know, if they're preserved right. And so it's kind of a compromise that people could do that, maybe harvest those minnows, salt them, and then use them in Tongue River Reservoir at a later day. Preserved minnows like that, they can take up there and bring back into Wyoming. That's not a problem. Just live fish that you can't transport back and forth.
And is the reason for that you get them into a water where they're not native and then they just become an invasive species?
That's exactly the reason. You know, there's species. Now, you know, the Tongue River flows down into Tongue River Reservoir, so that you know, probably wouldn't be an issue, because anything that's upstream in a reservoir or a water, a river or stream, usually ends up downstream if that fish can survive the habitat down there. But yeah, just Montana, we've been working with them for years, and this is kind of a somewhat of a compromise, but they just don't want, and actually we don't either, want you know, live minnows from one place to another back and forth. So I know that's one thing they're thinking about, and they'll discuss it more at length at this meeting. So that's the next item there is moving live fish, and it kind of talks about that. You know, just you go fishing somewhere, you go to Desmet and catch some fish, you can't leave Desmet with live fish in your live well and drive to back here to town or to Gillette or wherever.
Now, if I've got them in a cooler on ice and they're not technically completely dead, am I okay?
Well,
or do I need to make sure they're completely dead?
You should make sure they're completely dead.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, what a lot of people do when they get them is they'll gill and gut them,
sure.
You know, take the gills and gut and then put them on the cooler on ice.
Okay.
You're fine then.
I guess that's what I'll do, because normally I put them on a stringer and you know, keep them alive until before I leave and throw them on ice. I guess technically that's I'm breaking the rules. So.
Well, if you leave there and they're actually alive, yeah, you know, it'd be best just to gill and gut them and throw them on ice, and then you're in good shape. You
okay.
Know? So do
that. And when just to further on that, now if you're gilling them and gutting them there, do you need to take those gills and guts with you? Or are you saying it's okay to throw them in the water?
Technically, you could throw them in the water, but it's kind of unsightly.
Okay.
And, you know, we encourage people to maybe, you know, put those in a bag and take them home and dispose of them in
sure.
a proper manner, you know. It's kind of unsightly. A lot of people don't like to go there and see all the, you know, gills and guts of fish there in the shallow water out.
And it smells for a little while.
And it smells and stuff. So, yeah, just, you know, be a little considerate.
Sure.
And take those home. That's just the best way to do it. So,
and Bud, for those out there that like to go hunting for shed antlers, now's the time of year where they need to give the wildlife a little bit of a break.
Well, you know, we got a lot of areas where people like to go shed hunting, and just want to remind them that, you know, we're, even though it looks like it's spring out there and stuff, this is a time of year when a lot of wildlife species are really probably the poorest condition. They've gone through a pretty long winter. And, you know, there a lot of harassment and stuff at this point can put them over the edge. We could still have some mortalities, you know. So they need a little bit of a break. Yeah, just, you know, kind of, or even viewing wildlife. It's a good time to go view them. They're out there invisible. But just kind of stay back and don't you see something that still has a hold an antler, why, don't try to chase it so it runs and drops the antler. And I mean, that's just a that's illegal. But just, you know, give them a break. Just let them drift away. And I mean, especially if you see one, let the animals drift away quite a distance and then go get it or whatever. So.
And there's some winter range closures up on the Bighorn Mountains.
Well, yeah, and we've talked about this for the last month or two. You know, there's a couple, three areas on the Bighorns, and typically they're right behind our the Game and Fish Wildlife Habitat Management areas, the Kearns and the Amsden and the Budlove. We get moose that winter in those areas, and sometimes elk move back and forth. And, you know, those areas, depending on the area, some of them are totally off limits to motorized vehicles. And some are off limits to motorized vehicles during the wintertime. And that means snow machines too. You can't, there's a couple of those areas where you can't take ATVs in the summertime, and you can't take snow machines in the wintertime. So, and the reason is, though, moose, a lot of, you know, they'll winter higher than elk, and so they're up there in the pine trees, and if you get a snow machine buzzing through there ever a couple times a day, why, you know, it can be stressful. And that's why those are closed. And so all you have to do is just go to the Forest Service, get a Forest Service map. You'll see where those areas are. So,
and Bud, now that we're into spring, talking about ice fishing safety, I'll say for the past 2, maybe even 3 weeks, I haven't been going out because it's been pretty warm.
It's getting real iffy, you know, and probably the best thing to do is just call it a season. Just, you know, don't try to stretch it one more time or whatever. You know, I mean, the last thing we want to do is got through this far. Don't want to have to do an ice rescue or, you know, even worse than that, be looking for a body. So, you know, just especially these lowland lakes and stuff, you know, maybe on the mountain, still got another week or 10 days or, you know, maybe a little longer. But, you know, Healy, DeSmet, I think you could probably still get out there, but boy, it's just getting iffy. And I read a deal where a guy at Keyhole said that he went a couple days ago and said, "Oh, that was it." He said, "I had a hard time getting on the ice and got soaking wet coming off the ice."
Well, just it sometimes around the shores where it melts first, and then the spots out farther, you can't see what's going on underneath there, you know. And I would imagine there's certainly at the very least some weak spots.
Oh yeah, I think we're getting some weak spots, and you know, then I mean, when you think about this, okay. If the anglers have a hard time getting on, and some people get some planks, or I've even seen people take a extension ladder and put it out and walk on the ladder from the out to the ice. Well, you go out there and fall in, then the people that are rescuing you have to do the same thing. So it's going to maybe take a little longer to get out there, and you know, that water's still under the ice. It's cold. You can't last very long, so
people come up with some interesting ways to get where they want to go.
When it comes to fishing, you know, if there's good fish, people will do a lot of crazy things to get
there. There's a will, there's a way.
That's exactly right. So,
talking with Bud Stewart with Wyoming Game and Fish, also Bird Farm Supervisor Daryl Meineke. Guys, I thank you so much for taking the time here today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Brady.
Absolutely. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep those dials tuned. 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.